AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Goldbridge Saves Football podcast. And have we got a massive show for you? Absolutely disgraceful decisions over the weekend. We're here to save football, and we're going to be talking about how the title race and the relegation race is descending into farce with more. I can't say the word deliberate, Will, but it is farcical what is going on with the decisions around the Premier League this weekend.
Yeah, well, again, I was very worried. I didn't know if we had to stage another intervention with your phone, because some of the tweets that were coming out on Sunday were really disrupting my Mother's Day. I had to apologise to her. She was in tears, and it just wasn't a pretty sight, your timeline. So I'm sure we're going to get into it. You've got to be careful as well, because if you say deliberate decisions, you could be on that show with Howard Webb. Michael Owen.
I'd love to deliberately get myself on that show with Howard Webb and Michael Owen. More of that to come. We're also going to talk about the title race. We've got a new favourite this week. Remember, it probably will change each week. That's how it's meant to go. We're going to be talking about the Champions League, Spurs and Villa for that other spot, but also it's Champions League week as well. We've got either ors. We've got Pratt of the Week. There's some crackers in there, but we're going to start off with what was game of the week, Liverpool against Man City. We're not going to dissect it. Everybody's done that. I'd rather dissect a frog in biology, and I hated that. Can I just say, retainer, they were all dead, and they were dead for a very long time.
I'm sure at your age, but they must have done the real ones. How old are you? 40?
We're in the late 30s.
No.
We're both in the late 30s.
No.
What do you mean the real ones? Of course he did.
No, but back then it was a bit more like Hogwarts, the schools you used to go to, wasn't it?
Well, I remember we used to dissect like cow lungs and stuff, and people had like put the fingers up and all. It was a good introduction to stuff
yeah,
that happened
that's
later.
That's how it should be.
Slimy and everything like that.
Too soft these days.
Too soft these days. Anyway, look, I tell you who is too soft. The PGMOL. Oh. That is, look, we're here to save football. And I know, you know, I do shows like The Fill-In and Talk Sport and everything like that, where you talk about the weekend games, and we can do that. But I think we're going to go deeper. This is what we're here to do. Ultras. And what I want to start off with is that, in no way am I a Liverpool fan or a Man City fan or an Arsenal fan or a Forest fan, actually. Although, if I was a Forest fan, I don't know whether I'd be any madder than I am about what's happened to Forest over the last 2 weeks. And if I was a Liverpool fan, I think I'd be absolutely outraged by what's happened to them at the weekend. Let's start off with the biggest decision, the Doku penalty. You actually think it wasn't a penalty?
No, what I was...
Ah, he's backtracking
no, no,
now.
No. What I think was, the way also Shay Given broke this down on Match of the Day, was
if Shay Given did it, I'll go home. Shay Given spoken, everybody. That's
real,
it.
Real great pundit, actually. Underrated. I think he's going to go far. That's just a little brazier tip for you there. I'm sure he'll be really happy. I think I can see why it wasn't given, because I think that one, from the slowing down of it, makes it look 10 times worse.
No.
And I do think
you're going to lose all that good stuff you did with Liverpool fans a couple of weeks ago.
I'm not doing what you're doing, man. I see how it is.
I consistently speak the truth.
You should,
that's why
Liverpool's
I'm
chill.
Universal. No. I'm more hated by United fans than anybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it is, which is odd. But in relation to Liverpool, I just feel that it was just stonewall. I saw it in real time, and for me, that's a striker's tackle. You know,
yeah.
And I know he's not a striker, but I mean, we were looking at it again now. I've seen it about 50 times now, and not one thing I had noticed, because maybe the camera angle wasn't there, but he's actually off his feet. He's in the air as well. His foot's very, very high, but it's in the air. He's gone above the point of, we all know, high foot. So straight away, it's a foul for a high foot. On top of that, he's actually connected with McAllister in a reckless and dangerous
gets
way
the
twice.
Ball first.
Doesn't matter. That get the ball first thing is just mythical. You know, it doesn't make any difference. We've seen people go over the top of the ball and everything like that. It's reckless, it's dangerous, and it's a penalty. But I suppose, look, the big thing to say is that Liverpool, I'm really worried about this title race, because, I mean, I want Arsenal to win it, obviously. I don't want Liverpool and Man City to win it. But if they get that penalty and they score it, they're 4 points clear. It's not 10 minutes to go. Man City might get an equaliser. That's basically the last kick of the game. If Liverpool are 4 points ahead of City, City don't catch them. 1 point, I still think City have got a good chance. This is now the second time Liverpool in a title race can go onside goal against Spurs and last-minute penalty against Man City. And they are massive decisions, Will, and they shouldn't be happening. And I take it, as the referee, you might have gone, oh, I don't think it's high enough. But take you out of it, take me out of it. Why on earth are two, three people in VAR, why are they all getting it wrong? Because you might go, but most of us are going, definite penalty. Why are all four people getting that wrong involved in the process?
What I'm not saying here is two wrongs make a right, but you've been subjective there in picking those what rightly wrong for Liverpool. But then last week, there's no way that they should even have the ball for the winner against Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, but that doesn't, you know, this is Liverpool Man City. I mean, I think you can all, I take that on board, but you're still dodging the question, MP for North Birmingham.
Yes. And it's great
Will
to
Brazier.
See you. No, but what also, I think the deeper issue as well, because like we said,
dodging it again,
the title race.
Why are they not in that room? Because people in the chat are going to go, he's not answering the question. Answer the question. I'm like Paxman. Whatever happened to him? What is going wrong in the VAR room that Michael Oliver makes a mistake, but they don't correct him? Why is he not called over to the screen to look at it? That's the biggest farce for me.
Yeah, but I tell you, the problem with the VAR room, as we spoke about it before, that the biggest person with the biggest gumption the whole season was the second official to the assistant.
The apprentice.
Yeah, the apprentice, who was like, guys, he should be the star of the show. He should be Howard Webb and Michael Owen on the thing.
Apparently doesn't even work there. He's just a cleaner. He was just taking away their subways, and he went... This is wrong.
So it all goes down. We can get really deep here. It goes back to the appointments and who wants to be a referee. Mm. Like I've said this before. If your mate came and said, I want to be a referee, you put an arm around him, you go, is everything all right at home?
Yeah.
Because the type of people that get, like Mike Dean out there dishing all sorts of nonsense out every week, they are, a lot of them are narcissists and we're attracting the wrong people. And also on top of it...
I'd love to do it. I'd said that on purpose.
Yeah, thank you. For comedy effect. No, but also a lot of them, if you're a youngster trying to get into it, like you just look at the abuse. So like you wouldn't want to go down. The amount of referees getting abused on the weekend on Sunday League, and that's the
but
training
I don't
ground.
Think it's hard to do the job well. I mean, what an opportunity. Look at Kalina. Everyone loved him because he was just a bloody good referee, and they just consistently are inconsistent.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. We don't attract Kalinas. Who's the last Kalina we attracted? I don't... Have we ever had one in the Premier League?
I don't think we ever
Howard
had.
Webb was semi-close, but I think
he was a Man United fan as well.
Well,
he did all right for us, apparently.
Yeah, he was at Old Trafford, first game of the season, being wine and dime. But that's beyond the point. We're not going to solve the answer. The problem is we don't attract the right authoritarians people. You want a leader on the pitch, don't you, as a referee? And we are nowhere near that.
Well, I'm going to say it, you know, sod it. I'm going to say this title race is a sham, an absolute sham. I'll say it to camera. This title race is a sham. The integrity of it is in the mud. I still don't think Arsenal's that goal against Newcastle should have been given when Gabriel got pushed in the back. But far bigger, obviously, we're always going to know about the onside goal. I mean, that's just a disgrace. The integrity of the league is gone. But that at the weekend, it's not as bad as a goal not being given that was onside. But it's a goal that's not been given or a penalty. It's a sham. It's an absolute sham. And I cannot for one wait to see what Howard Webb and Michael Owen are going to say about this, because I don't think they'll say anything. They'll be trying to solve the impossible puzzle. They'll be there with their Rubik's Cube going, well, how do we solve this one? Because they won't front up. You have undermined the Premier League title race. Exclusively you, the PGMOL. It's an absolute sham. And I want to know, and I'm sure a lot of people want to know, is why, when that decision is made by Michael Oliver, VAR is not going, you've got it wrong, you need to come and have a look at it. And they're actually going, let's protect our friend. And that's, we've spoken about it so many times. The rule is, it's not a clear and obvious error, so let's back the referee. But it is a clear and obvious error. It's a sham, Will. We're better off without it, because then at least we're sat here going, you know, it's the pressure of the game, he's made a bad call there.
I think we're getting into a point as well where, and we bring it up every week, where they're probably reluctant to show him that because of like this notion of not showing things in slow motion because it takes out of context.
Show it in normal slow motion.
But I think it's, I just, also it's the protection of the mates, like you said as well. And I also think it's probably the timing of it, of like, last kick of the game, do I put my balls on the line and say that's a penalty? And they have bottled it.
But you know what? Man City ain't got any fans. No one's going
to
moan.
Steady now. I'd like to pull you up on that. I live in Manchester.
I know a few Man City fans, they're sound, and they said that was a penalty.
Yeah.
Because you do. When you get away with it, you do, and the game's over and you know you can't get in trouble. But look, Liverpool have done everything right. You know, it is a foul. McAllister even lays down on the ground for ages, doesn't get up. Yeah. The only thing I would say is that, and no other team does it better than Man City, if that had been at the other end, you'd have had four Man City players running to each corner, you know, trying to take off. You'd have had four around the referee. Liverpool probably didn't make enough about it, but they shouldn't have to do it. Like Ben Foster was saying to me, maybe McAllister, he could have just put his head in and made him kick him in the head. And I'm like, he doesn't need to do that.
I don't think that's a bit too quick thinking.
McAllister's done nothing wrong. He's been fouled. It should have been given.
Yeah, but then you look at the one we'll come on to as well, like with how the Spurs players made such a big deal of the John McGinn one.
Exactly. I think you have to now.
Yeah. And that's been
sad, isn't it?
No, it is. But as an England fan, that's probably been to our detriment in all those, you think of all those World Cup moments as well. So
that would have been given for Man City because they've played the game. They would have been all around Michael Oliver.
Well, I never knew what a tactical foul was until Pep Guardiola took over Manchester City. So
they're brilliant at it.
And that's the part of the game now, isn't it?
I was joking on the watch along that, you know, when Man City go for a decision, it's coordinated. Four of them go for the ref and the other four sort of just are running around, like trying to get...
But that's part that, like, you don't want to see it, but then if you support the team, you do want to see it because it is going to get you an advantage.
I genuinely think that decision, it makes me sick because I don't want Liverpool to win
it.
Don't
be sick in here.
But I genuinely think we're going to hit the end of May and go, that title is a sham, because I genuinely think that Man City aren't going to, unless Man City win the league by 5 or 6 points, if the league is won by Man City by 1 or 2 points, oh God, that's a sham.
But just on the title race now, because we'll come on to some other decisions, but I think yesterday was such a, like, obviously they could have had the 3 points if the penalty had been given, but I think Liverpool playing the way they did with that team, with what's to come, I'd just put them clear title favourites for me now, because they've got the stars to come back. The whole back five, only Van Dijk would normally play in that. So that's completely transformed. And the way that Klopp had those set of players playing, I just thought was remarkable. They should have won with penalty regardless. And I just think there's definitely a rick in Manchester City to come. And
I can see Man City winning every game though. If they beat Arsenal, I've looked at all their games, I can see them winning them. Liverpool, I can, but you know what? There's two banana skins for Liverpool and both teams are not playing well at the moment. They've got to go to Old Trafford and they've got to go to Villa Park. And I think Arsenal have got to go to the Etihad and win. And if they did, I'd probably put Arsenal favourites. But I'm not moving away from Man City at the moment. I think they got away with one yesterday. And sometimes I've seen so many title races with United. When you get away with one, it can be momentum. No, they were terrible second half, though.
Yeah, I think going into that game, I think I'd had Manchester City clear favourites just because of everything we've spoken about. So I think overall, the bigger picture, like that's a chapter. We got a big book coming, right? That was a big chapter this weekend. Still left on tenterhooks, but I still believe Liverpool will be the victors.
And I tell you what, I don't want to talk about the game too much because so much to talk about other things, but Liverpool should have won it without the penalty. They were so dominant in that second half. And, you know, I want to shout out Harvey Elliott. I thought Bradley was brilliant in the first half. I thought Kwanzaa was really good. They probably won't get the credit they deserve, but I thought they played so well. That was Man City's strongest team. And that's a Liverpool team without Alisson, without Konate, without Trent. Robertson didn't start. Salah, Jota. To go and do that, that's what happens when you put a manager in place for a number of years. And, you know, some people will say, well, how can Klopp win with kids and Ten Hag can't? But, like, Klopp bought every player. He developed every player. That's his vision. That's what Sir Alex was at the end.
Yeah.
It's what Pep is. That takes 4, 5, 6 years. Arteta's not there yet.
Yeah.
Even Arteta, you can't say everything from top to bottom is how he wants it.
No.
They're not quite there yet. But what Liverpool are with Klopp is top to bottom, everybody from an 18-year-old to a signing, and they were fantastic. And there's something about Klopp this season that when they come out for the second half, they're just, it's like they play in third gear and then they go fourth, fifth. It's amazing.
Yeah, but you think like Conor Bradley, he's probably been playing in that system, like you said, from under 18 to under 23. So it's like if you give him the confidence to play in the same way, he's got all the sort of the format in his head to know how to do it, even if it's Manchester City or Bolton Wanderers under 23s.
So many VAR things are going to run through this. We're going to talk about the McGinn red card and why it was a disgrace and it shouldn't have happened compared to what happened in the Brighton game and how big that is an impact for the relegation battle. But a couple of things I wanted to talk about. We're going to do sort of McAllister against Bernardo Silva in a moment, but Erling Haaland, very, very quiet game again. And the same thing has been levelled at him for quite a while, that in the big games, he can be quite redundant. Brilliant against teams when they're dominating and creating chances, which is what 99% of Man City's games. But the Champions League final, when they play the big games and they've, you know, they don't have 70, 80% possession, he can drift in and out of games. I want to talk about that. But that moment where he's running against Van Dijk, that's the moments in football that I absolutely love, because we, you know, Pep against Klopp, it can be, you know, but that was Van Dijk, arguably the best centre-back in the world, against Erling Haaland, arguably the best striker in the world, in a perfect scenario where Haaland's got it, running dead straight towards Van Dijk, and you're just like, this is what football's all about. And I know he still got the shot off, but I thought Van Dijk did brilliantly there. And I don't think Haaland did badly either, but it's like, people go, well, he got the shot off, but that shot from that position, it's got to be a worldie to score it. I think when you've got, when you're dead centre and you've got Erling Haaland running at you, you are second best. It doesn't matter who you are as a centre-back, because he's got the momentum, he's running at you, and you've got to be on the half turn. You don't know which way he's going to go. I thought it was a brilliant matchup.
I thought it was a brilliant battle, but like I thought Van Dijk did well, but not to the point where you log in on Twitter and every other clip was him going like, look at this, he's an absolute world beater here. I thought that was just like, you know, when Roy Keane sees a goalkeeper make a save and he's like, that's his job. Like, yeah. For me, that was Van Dijk's job.
Yeah. And he's done it fine. A good game.
Yeah.
But what about Erling Haaland? Look, somebody said it on Twitter yesterday and I sort of get it. They were like, if I'm playing a big game, I'd rather have Darwin Nunez as the number nine than Erling Haaland. It sounds ridiculous, but I sort of get it, because Erling Haaland, and he did play a good pass out to Doku, I think ended up with them having the hit in the post, but Darwin Nunez does a lot more things than Erling Haaland does in relation to running the channels, taking people on, little link-ups, whereas Erling Haaland is absolutely the best in the world at two or three things, which is movement in the box, finishing, absolutely brilliant. And people think that that's a criticism, but my opinion is Erling Haaland is what you would call a penalty box striker, and he's the best in the world. And the reason he's quiet in these games is because he's not going to do what Harry Kane is. He's not going to drop in the midfield and be a number 10. That's not what his job is. He is the end product. And Phil Foden was very quiet yesterday. We're going to say he's crap in the big games. Ultimately, Liverpool were better than Man City, especially in the second half. And if Man City aren't putting balls in and around the box, then as Erling Haaland, you're going to be quiet. It's just, he doesn't suit a game where there's no service, because he is the best service striker in the world.
Yeah, but everything you've laid out there, he's a victim of the process there, isn't he? He's a victim of the thing. So
that's why I'd be useless at Man United, because we don't create chances.
But I also think it's not to undermine what he can do as well, because like that Manchester City is formulaic, isn't it? Like, you know, we've mentioned Jack Grealish so many different times. Like, Erling Haaland is good at those two or three things because he's drilled in to do those two or three things. I still think he can do what Darwin Nunez does, and I think he can do it better than him. So I would 100% take Erling Haaland every day week in that situation.
Yeah, and I would agree with you on that, but I just think he becomes rather redundant, and the explanation for it is in a tight game or where Man City aren't on top, he's out of the game because he's just stood there up front not getting any service. He's not going to do what Harry Kane does. He's not a creative. He's not really somebody that, you know, gets hold of the ball and takes two or three players on. He's just a very, well, he's the best striker in the world. But yesterday, he's up against good defenders and Liverpool had most of the ball in the second half.
At the moment, the final meeting of Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola. We mentioned Erling Haaland versus Van Dijk. Watching the video package on Match of the Day of them two, I mean, the moments that they've had, just in the Premier League, let alone in Germany, absolutely fantastic.
I feel that when you sort of look at the rivalry between Klopp and Pep, Pep's a master at this. He's a master at putting out fires, because what Pep wants is just calm. The style of football that he plays, he wants calm. He doesn't, you know, when Mourinho came to Man United and they had Pep, I was like, oh, this is going to go off like a bottle of pop. And it never did, because Pep, whenever he talks about United before a Man United derby, it's always like, oh, Ollie's doing a great job. Yeah, we've just been, yeah, we're not. Yeah, I actually think that Bruno Fernandes is the best player in the world. And as for Harry Maguire, you know, he's just so good at calming it. And it's a tactic. Everything he does is tactical. He tells his players to get around the referee. He tells his players to do tactical fouls, and he will not engage in a rivalry because he doesn't want it. And when you look at it yesterday, Liverpool did a great job because they slowly simmered and then boiled that crowd up. And Man City do get intimidated. They lost their head. Rodri got a yellow card. Bernardo Silva could have been sent off. I think Pep Guardiola doesn't allow... If you look at Wenger against Sir Alex, that was the best rivalry I've ever seen, and it got aggressive at times. Yeah, and it was brilliant.
They both got under each other's skin, didn't
but
they?
Pep never allows it to happen.
Well, and even with the Trent thing as well, wasn't it? Of like Trent saying it means more because they've spent less, and yeah, it means more to the fans. And he was like, "Hope he gets back from injury soon. Be looking forward to seeing him."
It's a tactic, yeah. And I think as fans, I would rather see, you know, what we saw with Tuchel and Conte.
I
want to see that, and I think Jurgen Klopp's more than capable of getting involved in that. But Pep is a diffuser. He wins by keeping it. He doesn't want a game to become emotional.
No.
Because then you can't play the way he plays if it's emotional. I mean, look, this is what Sir Alex did to Wenger. Wenger never wanted it, but he could get riled by Sir Alex. And every time we used to play Arsenal, they were a better football team than us, but it would be about put Phil Neville in the midfield and let him clatter their good players, and then they'd get, you know. So I think Pep maybe learned from that because he just will not lower himself. So as a rivalry, Will, I would say... It's been a good rivalry, but it's been more a game of chess than a boxing match, which is what we want.
Yeah, no, yeah. You think there's never been a sort of, you want that Jurgen Klopp gritted teeth where he's almost foaming at the mouth. And
when Klopp against Sir Alex would have been great.
That would have been good. But like, start, you go back to like, if Pep was to enable what Klopp wants, that just fires everyone up, doesn't it? And it lights those fires. So I'm just more intrigued to see if we'll ever get it again and where it would be and in what sort of scenario. International level, Germany versus Spain.
Well, I've got a lot of respect for Klopp, and it's not even through gritted teeth anymore. It's an open mouth.
You've got lovely teeth now.
I know, and I just think, you know, maybe hopefully it's a change in football as well, because there is tribalism and there is rivalry, and that shouldn't stop. But I think with Jurgen Klopp now, I'm admiration of what he's done, and I hope that's not the end of his journey in football, because I'd be intrigued to see what his next project's going to be. But who knows?
Maybe it's a YouTube channel. Maybe he's going to be a streamer or something.
He's got
What's up, guys? It's Jurgen Klopp here.
He's American, is he now?
He's American, German, Dutch.
Let's take it back to VAR, though, because there were other decisions at the weekend. Now, I got into a bit of trouble on Twitter yesterday.
That's really not like you.
No. I was doing a watch-along as well, straight onto Twitter.
Yeah.
McGinn, no way that's a red card.
Bollocks.
Was it because I was trying to get a bit of interaction, or did I genuinely believe it? Well,
I never know with you.
Here's the reveal. I genuinely meant it wasn't a red card. And the context was... I've forgotten what his name is. You know it. Go back to the day before Brighton against Nottingham Forest. Moda's tackle is every day of the week and Sunday a red card. VAR review, referee, yellow card. John McGinn in the next day gets a red card. There's no comparison. If it's a red for John McGinn...
Different.
No, but this shouldn't happen though.
It's completely different.
This is what VAR's for. Consistency.
But let's start with McGinn, right? Because... I don't want to use your own phrase against you, but you've played the game. I've played the game. If you've played the game, you're 2-0 down in that situation. John McGinn, you know, very good player, but has that hothead tendency. We know exactly what he's done. He's lost his head. He's gone for the man. Reckless, out of control, a little bit high.
A trip.
I'll trip you in a minute,
it's
mate.
It's a trip.
Because we'll go on a trip.
I think it's a soft red.
It's not a soft
and
red.
And a hard yellow. But, I mean... My point stands, Will. Look at the Brighton one and tell me about consistency.
No, but I think the Brighton one is a red, but I don't think it's as much of a red as the John McGinn one.
Oh, my God. Get in the chat, everybody. I mean, John McGinn is nowhere near as bad as the Brighton one. And
yeah,
again...
It's the context of John McGinn. You know what he's trying to do.
John McGinn, I think Adogie makes the world of it. And I think because it's...
He tries to get up.
I think the touchline make a meal of it.
Nearly lost his leg.
I think the Spurs fans make a feel of it. I don't think it's that bad. But look, in the context is key again. I just think consistency, they've had a nightmare of a weekend. We're going to talk about the Havertz yellow card in a moment. They've had an absolute nightmare. But at that point, Villa ain't coming back. It's 2-0. They're not coming back when he gets sent off. I just can't see it. I think Villa, when they go behind at home, they've been quite poor recently. But the Brighton one, just very quickly, that's the second one in 2 weeks for Forest. They would have had 25 minutes against 10 men Brighton, and they end up not having that red card. And down there, that extra point, or maybe 3 points, is huge. And look, you know, we can't just, we obviously there's more focus on the title race, but it ain't good enough. It's not good enough. That's a red card. It's in real time, it's a red card. With VAR, it's a red card. In slow-mo, in fast-mo, it's a red card. And again, I'm looking at it going, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know what you're doing. And again, we're fast-tracking ourselves towards the relegation fight being a sham as well.
Well, let's round up the sort of refereeing decision chat, because you can also throw Kai Havertz into there, which also affects Brentford, because they can easily still get sucked into that and he shouldn't be on the pitch to score that goal.
See, this is where Goldbridge saves football. I don't think it's a second yellow card.
Right.
I don't.
But we haven't even... I think a lot of shows, especially the ones I watch in America, you sit down, you see two blokes, it's a premeditated sort of tete-a-tete. Yeah. You say one thing, I say
not
another. He's died. He's on a yellow, right?
Yeah.
And he's clearly dived.
Yeah.
So you agree?
Yeah.
So why is that not two yellows and a red?
Well, there's a layer to this because
layers up your ass.
It's the system that's broken, not what you're saying. Does Havertz dive? Yes.
Yeah.
Is there contact? No.
Yes.
So it's a dive.
Right.
You can't, I don't think you can ever start giving yellow cards for diving when there's contact, because I've stubbed my toe on minimal contact and it really, really hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can never tell what contact does to somebody. So
like
I don't think...
Kicking the balls.
Yeah,
like,
no. But you never know. You know, could have brushed it. A kick in the balls or someone just accidentally tapping it can really
exactly,
hurt.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
really can.
Yeah.
Ladies won't know about this, but maybe they will. I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be hit in the chuff. But the point I'm trying to make is you don't know if there's contact. I don't know about giving yellow cards. But you know why? We would be talking... let's say Havertz got sent off for that.
Yeah.
1-1.
1-1.
Arsenal aren't top of the league. I guarantee I'd be saying that's a joke. Because, and I will get to the point, VAR cannot be used for yellow cards on that.
Yeah.
And that's the flaw. That needs VAR. Because
no, but the linesman had a clear shot of that.
In real time, I sympathise with the referee, because one angle I thought there was contact, but the other angle you can see there clearly isn't. So I sympathise with the referee on that one. VAR can't come to their rescue. That needs changing. But the big mic drop here is, it's like the passback rule. We know it should be a free kick, but how many times doesn't it get given? We know they should be getting booked for diving, but it's almost like we'll do it occasionally. So if they'd sent Havertz off and Arsenal don't win that game, and therefore they're not at top of the league and they don't win the league, Arsenal fans would have every right to say, well, all right, he does dive, but look at this one yesterday, look at that last week.
Yeah, but when do you start? There needs to be a precedent somewhere.
Well, yeah, I don't think you start in a title deciding game in late March.
No,
mid March.
Like every game matters for different teams, though, doesn't it?
Look, I don't think Brentford or anybody's wrong to say that he should have got a second yellow card, and I don't think Arsenal fans are wrong for saying it would have been harsh to do it. The problem is here, it's that word beginning with C, and it's not the four-letter word.
No,
it's consistency. Stop booking players for diving. And there's no inconsistency. That's the problem. It's such a grey area that if you start doing it in that game, they've not done it in loads of other games. So I agree with you. He did dive. And yeah, it should be a yellow card.
I am right, effectively.
Yeah, you are right. Thank Everybody's you. Right. But what I'm saying is I agree with it not being a yellow card, because they're so inconsistent with that rule. I mean, what's a handball?
But I think with the diving...
What's a red card?
But with the PGML... PGML, I've got it wrong.
You've got it wrong. Yeah. PGMOL.
That one. They need some good PR right now, and probably a new acronym so I can spell correctly. Everyone hates diving. Universally, there's not many things all fans agree on. We hate diving. So start policing that correctly, because that was Tom Daley-esque. He was down, forward tuck, roll, done, yellow card, should be off, and then kicking the dick, scores the winner.
Yeah, I get it. And look, it's one of those ones where if it happens against United, I'd be bloody fuming. So I completely sympathise with Brentford fans. I also understand why Arsenal fans say it would have been harsh. Look, you're not wrong. There is always somebody responsible, and this just comes down to a horrific weekend for the PGMOL again, impacting the title race and the relegation race and every other race, because they're not consistent. And every weekend, it feels like all season, we're going, why has that not happened? Why has that not happened? Why is that a red card yesterday and that's happened? It defies logic, because if I was a heart surgeon, the things I need to know to be a heart surgeon and the things I need to know when I'm working, oh, that's gone wrong, shit, I need this, this, and the other. Refereeing is high pressure, but when you've got VAR there, The rules aren't that many. There's not that many rules. No. Like, you can't go, oh, I forgot about that. I forgot that I shouldn't have given the ball to the goalkeeper to kick. It should have been over here. And they're getting, I know it's high pressure. We all do. And we're all craving giving a referee praise, but they're so bad at their jobs.
Yeah, what's high pressure? You know, they've got that job. I used to work in Morrison's Caff. You know, you got four big full Englishes to serve in 5 minutes. I've dealt with that pressure. Mm. Do you know what? I've got the eggs on, cracked them, bacon, sausage, and I've done it. So we can all do it. You just got to believe in yourself.
Yeah, the inconsistency is an absolute joke. Shall we move on? Oh, no.
No, I was going to say, do you want to move? We've just done title race, we've done refereeing. Do you want to have a bit of chat about the Champions League, the game? Because it was a sort of almost a playoff game, really, between Villa and Tottenham.
It was. And also, I want to talk about the fact that the Champions League's back this week. And it feeds nicely into this because, obviously, I would say Spurs are now favourites for fourth place. There's a lot of talk that fifth place will get Champions League football, but not necessarily because it's the top two clubs in Europe, top two countries in Europe who perform well. Well, Italy are one of those who are ahead of us and they battered Brighton. So that's another English team going out this week. So
Villa could be out. They got Ajax 0-0.
Villa, Ajax. Arsenal play Porto.
Liverpool are through, but that's
Liverpool
Europa.
Are through. Man City are through, but we really need some of these clubs to go really deep. But I think Villa are going to... I think... Oh, he's going to sneeze. I think, Will, that Villa... And I like Villa. And you don't like Villa, but I do like Villa. But just because you like something doesn't mean you can't pick out its faults. I think they're going to crumble. I think Spurs are going to take that fourth place for a multitude of reasons.
Well, yeah, obviously I don't come in objectively into this because I hate Villa. So I tried to put some facts down to the thing.
Why do you hate Villa?
Because I'm a Birmingham City fan.
That's it. He's done it. Contractually, he has to get in about Birmingham City. No, okay. That's it.
I'll leave it because we lost. Factually, at the weekend, thought it was really weird for Unai Emery to change his tactics considering how effectively they've been at home against the top teams. At least forget that week against City and Arsenal when they were absolutely dominant. Also, that it comes off a week where they were playing European football and Tottenham are.
It's hard that.
And I just think everyone's highlighting the fixtures Tottenham have in April and the start of May where they effectively decide the title race. But sporadically across the next 3 months, Aston Villa's running is just as hard. And Tottenham haven't got European football to deal with. I'll wash his car every day of the week. Interesting to see how bad Mickey van der Ven's injury is.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because Niall, our producer, was saying off screen that the starting 11 for Spurs... Well, he won't love this now. He was saying that the starting 11 for Spurs is arguably better than Arsenal, and then he retracted it straight away. But what he was trying to say, I think...
And he said Timo Werner was better than Erling Haaland as well.
Yeah, he did say that.
It's really weird.
But I think what's interesting is that Spurs 11, I've been saying it for a couple of weeks as well, when you look at it, it's really good. And I looked at it yesterday and I was like, I think Villa are favourites. But then I looked at the starting lineup for Spurs and then I saw... On their bench, they've got Lo Celso, Werner, Bentancur, Dragosin, who they just brought in. So, and they're not in Europe. I think that, I know they've got three games against Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City, but they won't lose all three of those. I don't know who they're going to beat. I don't know, but they're going to have a big part to say in the title. And they have got a game in hand as well. And I think that for Spurs, it's looking really, really good. I mean, that cross for the Madison goal from Saar was just absolutely Beckham-esque.
Well, he's great as well because I think... Well, I'm doing my Spurs football manager saving. It's a really young core of players that, one, it's easier to probably for Big Ange to get that buy-in. And two, if they do buy in and they have got the quality, which a lot of them do have and are showing, like that could be a team that sticks around together for 4 or 5 years.
It's a nice problem to have, isn't it? Because I think that next season, obviously, it'll be very hard for them to play Champions League and get top four. We've seen that with Newcastle and we've seen it with Manchester United. But I think it's looking good for Spurs at the moment and they deserve a lot of credit. But for Villa, the reason I think they're going to fall away, and I think they'll get fifth, and then it's going to depend on whether they get that Champions League spot. They're 8 points ahead of United in sixth, and I just don't think United will close that gap anywhere near it. So I think they'll get fifth, and then it could still be Champions League football. But the problem that Villa have got is that Emery's going to try and win that trophy, and he should try and win that trophy. Yeah. And if you win that trophy, you get in the Europa League anyway. Fifth place is potentially Europa League, so I think he'll prioritise Thursday night, and they haven't got the squad for it. And McGinn's now out for three games.
Yeah,
Kamara's out for the season. I just think that it's going to be a real marathon for them, and I think they will potentially pick up more injuries.
Great from you as well, because you were like, you tweeted that Ezri Konsa was having a good game and then he gave the ball away for the second goal.
I know.
If you can keep doing that, that would be great for
I've
me.
I've got to be really careful with these jinxes. But yeah, I just feel Villa falling away. But look, if Villa finish fifth, they're going to need the English clubs in Europe to go really deep, because
it will seem failure of the season. But then if you just zoom out and
that's
go,
great.
Yeah, Conference League last year, we're in Europa League this year, we've had a good European run. Going into next season, they'll know the mistakes.
Fifth place
in
the Conference League is a great season for Villa. Oh,
unbelievable. But yeah, it comes off the back of having a chat about the title race around Christmas time.
Yeah, yeah. They just haven't got the squad for it, and a couple of injuries and it's out. But look, I wouldn't be surprised if they went and won their next two or three games, because after United beat them, everyone said they were going to fall off, and they didn't. They're a funny team, Villa. But
Big Ange or Unai Emery?
I'd go Emery. I would go Emery.
You're joking.
No.
You're having a laugh.
I need to see more of Ange. Season one, look at Ten Hag season one, look at De Zerbi season one, look at Eddie Howe. You know, I'd love to see.
I think De Zerbi's getting absolutely shafted, I do, by everyone.
Mm.
Just like the other week we were looking at Brighton a seventh.
I think it's the way they lose though, isn't it? 4-0 to Luton, 4-0 to Roma. I heard some quote that he's, and look, I don't know whether it's true. Get in the comments, let us know if it is. But apparently he said something about, it's not about trophies, it's about enjoyment.
Yeah,
I thought at the highest level it is about trophies. You know, you have got to shut down sometimes. You can't get beat 4-0 by fucking Roma and go, it's all about the enjoyment. No, shut the shot up at 1 o'clock and take it back to Brighton.
But then I've been watching the full swing, the Drive to Survive for Golf, and good quote in there is about like one of the guys just saying, I just never can enjoy it because I'm either trying to win and then that's what I do, and then when you lose you're too pissed off, so then when do you actually enjoy it?
I feel like that.
Hey, well, when can you
I don't
enjoy
celebrate
it?
Success
and then
when
you're dead,
but then when you're getting pouters,
yeah,
you probably focus on that more.
Yeah,
I get it. Anyway, but what I was going to say is that fifth place for Villa could be a Champions League spot, but for that to happen, I think with the Italian and German teams doing better than us at the moment and looking like they're going to go deeper,
yeah,
desperately, I hate to say it, need Man City and Arsenal to hit at least the semi-finals of the Champions League, which I think, well, it always depends on the draw, because they could pull each other out, couldn't they?
Yeah.
I think Arsenal beat Porto.
Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors. I don't know. I think with the Arsenal Porto game, there's a real underestimation of Porto. Like, and we saw with the result, like Porto had the, you know, that chance that they had in the first half when it, I don't know how the ball never went in.
They're 1-0 down, aren't they?
I think it'll be that sort of sense of a lot of pressure on Arsenal, and it almost goes back to the end of last season, those games at home against like Southampton when the pressure was on and they didn't deal with it, and ultimately that cost them the Premier League. I think that'll be like that tomorrow at the Emirates, and it'll be a big indication for me of the title race going forward.
Someone said to me the other day that if Arsenal go out to Porto, fifth place is gone. We won't get it because we haven't got enough.
Is it like, see, like Champions League means more and then it sort of seeds down?
I don't know that it does. I think it's about how deep you go, you get more points. And obviously we've only got West Ham, Villa, Liverpool, Arsenal, City left, really, because Brighton are going to go.
Yeah, never say never, though.
No, and I hope we do get a fifth. I mean, we're going to do a show at some point on the Champions League format. It's an absolute
joke.
I'm
playing it at the moment. It's well boring. You get...
How are you doing that?
Oh, well, on my Football Man, because I'm qualified.
Oh, it comes in.
But it's like, you just get given your fixtures at the start.
There's 36 teams,
and then
isn't
I played it? Arsenal in my first game. It was two English clubs straight away, so it's not even, you know, done so you don't play another English team. And then it's like eight
go
fixtures.
Through.
No, yeah. But then it's like the top eight go through and then a load of teams can get into a playoff. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's too ridiculous.
Well, eight go through and then you need another. So, well, very, very quickly, if you're interested, we can always edit this out. The new Champions League format is basically, I think it's 36 teams in it. You play, if Arsenal are in it next year, which they will be, you play eight games, but you don't play them in a way, you just play eight games. So you might play Bayern Munich at home, Real Madrid away, but you don't play Real Madrid at home or anything like that. You play eight games based on how many points you get from those eight games. If you're in the top eight, you go straight through to the knockout stage. The next 16 teams, so from 8th to 24th, play each other in a playoff to be in the final, to go in final eight, to go to a final 16. It's just more games. And it's not logical because you don't play everyone in your league anyway.
But I do, yeah. The benefit does come from of like, especially the last four or five seasons in the Champions League, you could put a bet on and say, this team's going to be first, this team's going to be second, bar one or two. Where we're getting new matchups, hopefully, that should be good. And like, I don't know, Real Madrid, Ludogorets, I don't want to see that twice. Do you know what I mean?
So the problem with it is you play eight games, which is two more than you used to play in the group stage.
Yeah.
And you've got to be bloody shit to finish 24th to 36th.
Yeah.
So you're always going to, even if you do badly, you're still going to get the playoff, aren't you, between 8 and 24.
Let's give it a chance.
Yeah, I don't like it. Anyway, it's time for Brat of the Week.
You're a Brat, he's a Brat, she's a Brat, they're whiny. Now it's time for Brat of the Week. 1, 2, 3.
John McGinn, I've put in because I think you're a captain.
You're just regurgitating content again.
He's in my nomination, so because he's cost his team there and could cost them further. But you brought up a fantastic one. Do you want me to read the quote?
Yeah.
See if you can guess who did this quote before we give you the answer. I would give it to Steven Gerrard. I've still got belief in him. I don't write people off. That's blank on becoming the new Liverpool boss. Who do you think that was?
Well, I know who it was because I sent it to you.
I was just saying it's the audience.
Who do you think it was? It was Harry Redknapp, and it's a genuine quote, apparently. We've double-checked that, yeah.
It's in a graphic on social media, so
it must
be true.
Yeah. But, I mean, I like Harry Redknapp. I liked him at Spurs. Maybe he should have been England manager, but...
I would have liked that.
This is, you know, actually, as a compliment, it just shows you that anybody's capable of talking shit and a bad take. We've all done it, and that is right up there. I mean, Steven Gerrard as the next England, as the next Liverpool manager, I mean, just... It's proven, no. Absolutely, not even a consideration. I mean, I'd rather give it to Carragher.
There's ex-players that were top of the game, Gerrard, Lampard, Rooney, which I could go on for days about, that there's just this, I don't know, aura around them where they almost don't think, you know, Steven Gerrard's got to go in at probably a League One championship club now.
Yeah.
I mean...
Don't give him the bloody Liverpool job. I mean,
based on his performance in Saudi Arabia, which he couldn't do anyway, he's absolutely stinking out the joint there.
Mm.
He's doing terribly. Like, there's a... You know, the way that Aston Villa passed on Eddie Howe to get Steven Gerrard in. And ultimately they've got Unai Emery, which has worked out for them. But they missed out on 18 months there of like progressive football.
Maybe they should have done the homework a little bit better, but he was doing well at Rangers. If they'd done the homework, they'd have figured out why that was. But look, Gerrard, fantastic player. But the most important thing is, it matters not what we think because we don't support Liverpool. If you spoke to a Liverpool fan about Gerrard, they'd say absolutely love him, legend of the club. Do not let him have the manager's job because this is pivotal. Jurgen Klopp has took us from nowhere to actually a really strong position. We saw what happened with United when Sir Alex did that and they went for Moyes. And I bet they'd rather have Moyes than Gerrard. He's a better coach. So you can't, you know, sentimentality doesn't come into it. Legend of the club cannot go anywhere near that job because as I've seen at United, even one or two years of mistakes... You're off. It takes a long time to come back.
And also, I don't know if you've ever watched the Steven Gerrard documentary. Like the weight of expectation on his shoulders of being a captain from the area and everything he had to deal with was ultimately too much for him. And I think it'd be too much for anyone because of the high level of performance he expected and what he wanted to do and some of the shit that he had to play with going in after Klopp. You bet in roundabout with different jigsaw pieces, you've got the same thing there because immediately you need Champions League football. Could it be a case of like what Sir Alex Ferguson was doing with, I'm not saying this Liverpool team's as bad as that, but some of them Man United teams you look when it was like Darren Gibson and John O'Shea playing in centre midfield.
Mm.
Like Klopp is getting the best out of the youngsters now. I'd be very interested to see how this goes forward.
Yeah, yeah, just as a big no. Although we did double check that it was a genuine quote from Harry Redknapp, and I could imagine he would say it, but it's
for a betting brand, so he's going to want the money.
It's outlandish, it really, really is. But I do think you need to be careful these days. I was reading an article a few days ago about how AI can generate multiple Twitter accounts really, really quickly and just churn out AI-generated tweets. I mean, I always was concerned about Twitter accounts that would just pictures of players and, you know, like Havertz's pants or, you know, Saka's, I don't know why I'm doing Arsenal fans. It's not just fair. Let's do, I don't know, Foden's left boot. I'm really, 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 really sceptical now about those accounts because they may well be genuinely people having a laugh, but I just think there's so much online now that you just don't know what's true.
No.
But that apparently is from Harry Redknapp, so I don't think there's any contender. Well, I was going to mention Rio Ferdinand saying Kyle Walker's the best Premier League right back ever, but he did have him on his podcast, so...
Well, I don't think that's that contentious.
Oh, come on. I mean, I'm coming off a weekend where he's been absolutely rinsed again. His positional sense is horrific this season. I don't know whether that's age, but... to be fair, I've always said take his pace off him and he's playing for Charlton Athletic. Like,
That's one of his key attributes. Like, he has got that.
But you take,
like me saying,
you take Van Dijk's aerial ability off him, he's still a world-class centre-back.
Yeah, but that's like me, you saying take two arms off him, he's crap at volleyball.
And you make a good point, and some people came back at me with that, but pace is an attribute. Of course it is. Look at someone like Doku or Theo Walcott. You take their pace off them.
Peter Crouch is like bad at heading because he's not very good at heading, but if you took his height off him...
It'd still be a good technical footballer. I think Kyle Walker's main attribute is pace, and when it comes off, I don't think he's a great right-back.
I like
right
him
back.
As a centre-back when he's been playing in that when we used to play in that three for
I
England.
I don't think he's anywhere near the top five right-backs.
I don't think that's... I definitely agree with Harry Redknapp also because he was a bastard when he was at Blues.
There are so many. Ivanovic at Chelsea's a better right back than he is.
Steady now.
He is. Aspilicueta as well. Trent.
No, you're being.
Gary silly. Neville, definitely.
Gary Neville and Kyle Walker's the conversation.
There are others. Get in the chat. I did.
Jeff Kenner.
I tweeted it the other day. Like right backs that are better than Kyle Walker in the Premier League era, and there are quite. I mean, it's an old one. Lee Dixon's better than him.
Right, you just.
No, it's true. You can't just be ageist.
I'm not. How am I being? I literally said Jeff Kenner.
You know, how old are you? You wouldn't. You probably don't even know who Lee Dixon is.
Lee Dixon, yeah.
Best. Anyway, look, great any other Pratt of the Weeks?
No, those are the nominations.
It's got to
so
be
far.
Harry Redknapp.
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the Week. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it's got to be Harry Redknapp.
And we like to do different things. And also, let's just say, Pratt of the Week is a little bit tongue-in-cheek. So, look, we're not attacking Harry. I love his jam roly-polies.
I don't like him. Yeah, we've gone through all of those. The either-or that we haven't touched on, there's a few here, was Alexis McAllister or Bernardo Silva, which I know you wanted to get into.
Yeah, well, look, I'm a big fan of Alexis McAllister this season. The interesting game, Liverpool-Man City, was that Alexis McAllister played further forward. He almost played as the eight and Endo sat. And Bernardo Silva was playing centrally as well. So I thought it was a really interesting either-or. Bernardo Silva, I don't know what he is with Pep this season. He doesn't seem to use Bernardo Silva as much. And I thought he was going to leave in the summer. And he stayed. And he's not really had the season, Bernardo Silva. I don't know what's gone wrong with him. No, I don't think Man City are anywhere near as good as they were last year. And Bernardo Silva's not anywhere near. I think Bernardo Silva's a fantastic player. But right here, right now, I'd go McAllister over Bernardo Silva. I mean, he's such a good player. Yesterday, when they were really under pressure in the first half, he just took the responsibility on. They started to come back into the game in that last 20 minutes before half time. And then he dominated second half. I mean, Endo played really well as well. But Alexis McAllister this season, I know we spoke about him last week being signing of the season with Declan Rice. He's almost transformed. Sending that now, I think you've got to put him into the conversation for Player of the Year.
Yeah, but
who do you think is going to win Player of the Year?
I mean, Virgil van Dijk could be up there if he takes that Liverpool.
It can't
team.
Be a Man City player. I mean,
I said Virgil van Dijk.
I know. But what I'm saying is, you know the ones where the players vote?
Right.
I've spoken to Ben Foster about this before. I just think that they want to go and play FIFA or they want to go and play golf. You need to fill these cards in. Oh, just De Bruyne. Just tick De Bruyne. And I think for years, De Bruyne has deserved it. But I think there's also been a couple of years where it's been like, oh, just put De Bruyne. And this is the year where I wouldn't pick Man City because it's lazy to pick a Man City player. You could go Foden, and I think a lot of people will, but look at the job Arsenal have done. Look at the job Liverpool have done. I think, look at what Ollie Watkins has done at Villa as well. I just think this year, can we have a manager of the year that's not Pep and a player of the year that's not a Man City player? Because so many, and there's levels to it as well. I mean, you mentioned Ange. If they get fourth place, surely that's as big as an Arsenal winning the league.
I'll tell you what's bigger. If Rob Edwards keeps up Luton Town.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Ross Barkley's
Gary O'Neill's done a good job.
Yeah, exactly. So I just think they do it too early as well because you're defined as a player from what you do in the business end of the season. And I think they're probably voting from it from the end of March, start of April.
Yeah.
Whereas you can see what happens end of April, start of May. That's where the season actually gets defined.
Who would be your top three players of the year if you were voting for it now? I'm not going to ask you for your top three, but who would you go?
Oh, he's got it. I'd go Ross Barkley, number three.
Yeah, loves Ross Barkley.
Number two,
follow him on Instagram, follows me.
I'd go...
You know that? Follows me on Instagram.
Well, why is he not on the podcast?
I don't know whether he does.
Way better now. You can't tease me like that.
I doubt it. It might not
be. I'd go number three. I'd go well, it depends who wins the Premier League.
I said right now, stop bloody... you are a politician.
Yeah, right. I'd go Declan Rice, Phil Foden, Van Dijk.
Declan Rice, Phil Foden, Van Dijk. Interesting. I would go Ollie Watkins third, Alexis McAllister second, and my number one... my number one at the moment is... I'm really predicting it. I'm going to say Van Dijk because Liverpool will win the league, but if Arsenal win the league, Declan Rice. And if Man City win the league, no Man City player in the top three.
No, Foden's had a fantastic year.
Yeah, he has.
One of the final ones as well was a bit of a sort of back in the ages time. It was Casemiro, Kante or Yaya Toure in their prime. Who would you have?
I'll tell you what, Yaya Toure.
Bench start sell.
Yaya Toure was a fantastic player. He's one of the only players as a Man United fan that I just dreaded in the final few weeks of the season because... Man City could be playing crap, and this is probably 10 years ago now, isn't it? But he would just be that player that could win the game on his own from the midfield. I think he's massively underrated, Yaya Toure. I think he was just... he could score goals, dribble, tackle. For about 2 or 3 years, he was untouchable. And for some reason, I don't know why he's sort of like... He very rarely gets sort of mentioned as a Premier League great until you really start delving past the first five. But I think he was just... had such an impact.
I think it's the lack of Champions League wins at Manchester City, maybe.
Yeah.
Because he was at Barca, wasn't he? But obviously, it wasn't integral to that midfield three.
I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Kante, obviously, what he did at Leicester was superb, and Chelsea. And again, he had probably a 2 or 3 year period where everybody loved him, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Casemiro in that Real Madrid midfield, Champions League winner 3 times in a row.
Sort of different.
I think the best holding midfielder of the last sort of decade. It's a tough one to start. I think I'd sell Kante, I'd bench Casemiro, and I would start Yaya Toure at their best. Off their best there.
I'd start Casemiro, bench Yaya Toure, and sell Kante based on the legacy of their work.
Yeah, that's a good one. I've gone at their best. You've gone off the legacy of the work. So let us know what you do.
Let's move on to Guess Who. But before we do that, we mentioned it last Thursday. We are at the home of Solihull Moors. More to come from that. But absolutely fantastic at the weekend. They are one game away from Wembley as we speak. They beat the Wealdstone Raider, Umag, at the weekend. What did he say?
They got no fans.
Got no
fans. You want Sam?
We want Sam. And it's the Moors. Moors. How do you like us? Nobody likes us.
No.
That's it. There you go.
You've got no fans. You've got no ground.
That's it. I reckon...
go on, Sam.
Who's the guy...
go on in. You want Sam. You know, he does... I was bored over Christmas, and I don't know why. I was on Instagram or something, and he came up on there. And he obviously just spends his life doing the... You know, what do they call it?
Club appearances.
No, not club appearances. You know, the...
Cameo.
Because... Oh, yeah. And he obviously just doesn't care. Yeah, because he's like, Darren from Norwich. You want Sam? We got no ground. It's just about... You never know what happens to you.
That could be you in a couple of years. You Pratt,
Jordan,
Darren.
Jordan and Karen, it's your birthday. I've played the game. You're a Pratt. I've played the game. Let him speak, Jordan. Let him speak. Oh, slow sports news, Karen. It's your wedding day. Have a great one. I've played the game.
I'm not doing that. Money's money at the end of the day.
I'll have recorded my 10th one of the day, and I'll be saying to the missus, I'm just going for a drive. Where are you going? Just some cliff somewhere. Go and see Cliff.
But his story is quite sad because I swear he's been shafted by agents in the past. I just think it's a horrible industry. Is it Toby Jones? You know, the actor?
Yeah.
He'll play the Wealdstone Raider in the Life and Times of some like BBC Two moody drama.
And the thing is, I loved it when he was really popular. It was great, but he's so distinctive as well. He's not the sort of guy that you'd see him a mile off, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I saw Gary Neville at Old Trafford at the weekend on the telly, and he was like selling one of the fanzines, etc. And, you know, Gary Neville's proportions and height is probably, you know, 75% of the male population in the UK. And he's got a, you know, black jacket on with a hoodie up. And it's like, he can probably get away with it without really getting noticed that much. But Wealdstone Raider,
But They went down to Solihull Moors. So Solihull Moors find out, well, today as of recording, so you'll know who they're playing in the semi-final. So if it's at home, get down here. But more importantly, if they win, they're at Wembley. But
we're going to go.
We're going to go?
Yeah, as long
You've
as...
You've not well, said the picture this year, you say.
But look, the funny thing is, they're doing well in the league, in the National League as well. They hopefully will at least be in the playoffs, which could be another trip to Wembley. But they've been doing really well on the road lately. But the funny thing about the weekend is, I was keeping an eye on it. I saw it was a draw. And I thought, oh, it's another good point on the thing. And then I saw, oh, they're through on. I didn't even realise that it was that. But, you know, my best ever football manager career, you can check it out on That's Football, or maybe it was Twitch, I can't remember, was Solihull Moors. I broke the goal scoring record with, you know, just devastatingly attacking football.
Nice. You play mobile version. It's a lot easier.
No. First time promoted as
Touch.
Well. I actually did it as a promo for Football Manager, and people said, yeah, they've sent you an easier version just to... Yeah, make yourself do well. And that really hurt.
Yeah.
Because I was like...
I'd absolutely destroy you on Football Manager.
This needs to happen at some point.
That would be lovely. Also, more to come from that. We should know by this week. We can announce some Moors stuff.
Some Moors stuff coming your way. Lovely stuff. Keep your eye on Solihull Moors. You know, it's always nice to follow another club, especially in the non-league.
Yes, they need your support. So if you can get down to a game, we'll be here soon. So we'll see you there.
Could get Macclesfield in the semi-final, which would be...
Yeah, you'll be there.
Goldbridge against... Savage.
Yeah. Lovely.
No comments.
Have a bit of that. No comment from me because I got a point last week. It's time for Guess Who? It's Goldbridge 9, Brazier 4. Mark, would you like to start because you've still got your winning advantage? Why you got a big smirk on your face?
Because I'm really not taking this as seriously as I was because I've got such a big gap at the top.
Who said that? The AC Milan team at Istanbul in the Champions League final. Oh no, we've just lost on penalties.
So I really am not taking this that seriously. Do you want to go first or not?
I'll go with my clues then to know what I'm up against.
Okay.
Clue number one. I played for Chelsea 82 times in the Premier League and scored 4 goals during my time there.
82 games, 4 goals for Chelsea. I'm going to go with William Gallas.
Incorrect.
Ooh, that was a good
During my time at the club, I won the Premier League and the FA Cup.
Premier League and the FA Cup, 82 games. What was his name? Carvalho? What was his name? Played at centre-back with Terry.
Carvajal?
Yeah.
You just made... Kyle Valho? No, that's a different bloke. He lives in America. I played 36 times for England and scored 6 goals for them. I made 2 substitute appearances at the 2010 World Cup.
2010 World Cup. Oh, people in the chat are going to know this now. Really frustrating. Chelsea. It wouldn't be him. It wouldn't be him. Wayne Bridge.
Incorrect. I left Chelsea for Manchester City.
Ooh,
and also went to play for QPR.
Oh, I should know this now. I'm having a right stinker this week. Went to Man City from Chelsea, also played for QPR. Oh, Chelsea. Frank Lampard. No.
Lampard!
No, I'm not having that, Frank Lampard. He did go to Man City. So did that other one.
Final clue.
Go on.
My dad is called Ian. Think about it. My dad's called Ian.
This is the 5th clue?
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is the worst I've ever done.
My dad is called Ian.
Yeah. I know. His dad's called Ian.
Played for Chelsea. Also, he played for Man City.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go on.
Sean Wright Phillips.
Yes!
That was. I felt that was really hard. You've won this week then.
No, let's keep the audience on the tenterhooks. I've still got...
I've noticed what you're doing.
Getting in the
mic. I've noticed what he's doing. I can't change what I was going to do here now.
I think they were really good clues.
They were really good. It was a hard one.
Yeah, were you...
But I just... Okay.
It's not Bradley Wright Phillips, is it?
Played for Arsenal 55 times, scoring 4 goals.
William Gallas.
Yeah.
Yeah!
Not really.
Oh, what?
No. Okay, I have, although, interesting, I have 12 caps for France.
Bonjour, monsieur.
We're back in France again.
Back in France. Played for what? Mikel Silvestre.
No, good guess as well.
Come on!
Club Korea, Arsenal, Saint-Étienne, Arsenal, Saint-Étienne on loan, Nice on loan, Marseille on loan, Arsenal.
Do that again, sorry.
Started my career at Saint-Étienne.
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
Saint-Étienne on loan.
Yeah.
Nice on loan. Marseille on loan. Arsenal.
Flamini?
No. Current Arsenal player.
Oh, God. Is this your fourth question?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Current Arsenal player. French.
Current Arsenal.
William Saliba.
Yeah.
Oh!
I tell you what, that was actually meant to be quite easy, but...
That wasn't easy.
It wasn't. No.
Yeah.
Arsenal players, Arsenal fans would know it. Well,
yeah, because they're Arsenal fans.
Yeah, they would know that.
Yeah.
He's panicking there. He was panicking.
It's 9-5. You should be panicking, mate.
Well, 4-point gap, whatever. I'm playing the reserves.
Yeah, well,
the rest
shit.
Of us are on piss.
Yeah, good. Have a good day.
I'm quite happy with that because I thought you'd get it really, really quickly. But no, I did well with the clues.
Yeah. You have a good week.
Yeah.
Some big football to watch. Me and Niall off to watch Birmingham City in a big relegation battle against Middlesbrough tomorrow. You'll
Can't
be doing the Champions
how bad
League.
It's gone. You should have kept Rooney. It's not got better, has it?
Let's just end now because I don't want to carry on with that statement.
Reminder, everybody, that we have moved the Friday podcast from a 7 a.m. launch to a 5 p.m. launch on a Thursday. We started it last week, so we do two a week looking ahead to the weekend. So 5 p.m. on a Thursday, it comes out on Spotify. The reason we've done that is because it's the weekend. We may as well get it out as early as we can to look forward to the weekend. So check us out at 5 o'clock on Spotify. It's out there. And of course, we are putting them out on YouTube for you now as well. So keep an eye out for that.
Yes. But this one's going to stay on Tuesdays, maybe on Monday.
We might put it out on a Monday at 5 o'clock. Let us know what you think about that for the Spotify, because there is a lot of weekend stuff in there. And we're sort of thinking, should we try it out next week on a Monday at 5? Which
we'll still be
will.
There Tuesday at 7. But yeah. If you want to listen to it Monday night and have a bit of weekend chat, it might be there as well. But let us know in the comments.
Oh, got a pair of football boots to give away as well. Them blue
just
ones.
Just from your garage?
Not now. This is on Friday.
Okay.
Those unworn blue Predators. City fans will love them.
I might have some stuff to give away from somewhere next week.
Okay. Thanks everyone for listening. Make sure you get your comments in. Give us a follow and all that jazz. And we'll speak to you very soon.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.